That is definitely who the Lord is. He is the one who makes a way. Together in the book of Joshua, going through a series where we're looking at God, this one who does make a way. And last week, Pastor Barry talked a lot about consecrating yourselves as God took the people of God, the Israelites, who'd wandered in the wilderness for 40 years with Moses, had now transitioned leadership to Joshua, and he was to lead them into the promised land, crossing over the Jordan to a way they had not been before, to an experience they had not had before, where they would go and they would see all the promises of God fulfilled, where they would see this promised land that they had been looking forward to. There was going to be struggles, there were going to be hardships, but it was going to be a place that was a fulfillment of God's promise. It all points to Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law. In the Gospel of John, it tells us that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. So we also know that the law of God points us to our need for a Savior. To get to the promised land, we need our Yeshua. The same word, Yeshua, the same name, means Joshua or Jesus. It's a symbol of the things to come, that Jesus would be the one that would lead us into that promised land. So today, we're going to look at what God instructed his people to do at that moment of crossing, because God has got a plan that every generation would look and see and remember both the works of God that he has done and as a symbol of what God is doing in our lives at the moment. As he's leading us forward, he wants to speak to us today. So let's pray and ask for him to speak. Father, thank you so much for your word today, for how it speaks to our lives. I pray that you would help me proclaim your truth clearly as I should. I pray that you would help Jesus be lifted up, that you would convict hearts, and you would remind us of your promises, of your presence. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's jump right into this passage today, because there's a lot to cover, and I found a lot in this passage, and I think you'll be excited to see it too. Let's begin in Joshua chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. It says, "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men.'" Turn me down just a little bit. I think I'm getting a little feedback. "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight.'" So Joshua called together 12 men that he appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And he said, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, to serve as a sign among you, so that in the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' you're to tell them that the flow of the Jordan River was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them to. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, and they carried them over with them into their camp, where they put them down. And Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. All right, you get what happened, right? Again, just if you, real quick, Hirsch, if you could pull me down just a little bit, that might be helpful. You caught what happened, right? God told the people, consecrate yourselves, tomorrow you'll see great things. And God had the Ark of the Covenant, this symbol of God's presence, go before the people and go into the Jordan River. It was at flood stage. And the scripture tells us that the waters stood up in a heap way back in a town kind of further up line, and the people actually crossed over on dry ground. All of that was miraculous. The water standing up, it's during flood stage, and you know what happens, right? When the water's gone, the ground is muddy, not dry. It's muddy, not dry. But yet the ground was dry because you had about 2 million people crossing over this area of land to go into the promised land. It was God's incredible miracle for them. Now, this was a time of incredible change. And so as they take these steps forward, God gives Joshua this interesting instruction. Take 12 stones from the middle of the river. Now, you know how they come out. I actually brought one. We didn't have our children's day. I brought my little smooth stone, right? You know, these ones that are in the water. I'm assuming it might have been one of these little smooth stones that they would take, but they weren't small. These men were supposed to pick up some pretty big boulders and make a little pillar, make something that would be this everlasting memorial of what God had done. Are you into memorials? Do you like make things from, I don't know, a trip that you had, a family gathering? Grandma in my house was the one that was always like, okay, we got to get everybody to get a picture together. All right, you know, the oldest cousin, I was the second oldest, and my one other was a little older than me. She would make the two of us always stand back to back to see who was taller, right? And you got to get a picture. And every year, which one? It was like a race between me and my cousin. I'm taller. Do you memorialize these events? Do you make some kind of a scrapbook? Do you have kind of like a set of pictures on your computer? I feel like my old computers are just like my, instead of like photo albums, it's just old computers that have the old pictures on it. And I got to remember, you got to pull those things over and make a file somewhere. But anyway, we make memorials. Why do we need those things? Well, because we want to remember the experiences. Do you realize that God instructs his people to make a memorial here so they would remember the experience? They would remember the experience. Why do we need these memorials? Well, the scripture's actually clear. One of the first reasons is for our children. One of the first reasons we want to set up a memorial is for our kids. Did you see what it said in verse 5? Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you, so that in the future when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Well, you can answer, this is what the Lord did. It's a sign for our children. Friends, how are we doing this in our lives? How are we creating things that we have so that children, our co-workers, family members, grandchildren are asking about those things? I remember my grandmother, who took all the photos of us, right, and made us all stand up. I remember after she passed away and went to be with the Lord, my dad brought out her Bible. She didn't have the app Bible, right? It was an actual, you know, Bible. And it just had her notes and things that she had stuck in her Bible that she wanted to remember. It became kind of a family thing, like, 'cause you could kind of see some of grandma's prayers, some of her thoughts when things were going, when my youngest uncle had serious health things, and what she wrote in her prayers of concern, and what she had written down, and even things later in life for some of the grandkids, and what she had written, and prayers that she had prayed, and promises she had claimed. Do you have things that will pass on, that would show your faith? Do you have decorations in your house that point to Jesus? Do you have things in your car? Now, I'm not talking about some kind of little, I don't know, you know, cross dangling from the rearview mirror type of thing, like, oh, this will protect my car, like a lucky charm or something. We don't do that. But for someone to ask, do you ever wear things? Do you ever do things? Do you ever have things that might have people say, what is that about? What is that about? How has God moved in your life? One of the reasons we have memorials, have things like this, is we want to stimulate those conversations. What stories are you telling to your children and to your grandchildren? Even coming to church regularly, right? Maybe the kids are asking, why do we got to go this Sunday? Because God has something to say to us. This is important in our lives. God has moved in my life. God is bringing people to Jesus. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the scriptures are clear. It does tell us, right? Verse 5, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. These commandments, Moses says, the Lord is giving to us. Why? I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them while you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. We are called to be those that are talking about the Lord and passing that on. Is there something in your dorm room, right, for our college guys? I keep thinking, I often tell our graduating senior type people, it's like, what do you do first day? Put your Bible on your desk in your dorm room, right? First week, go find a campus ministry to attend, right? First month, make sure if you visit a few churches, join one. Get involved. But what are you doing the first day? Mark that I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. It's to be a sign to you, but it's also for our children. But it's also, I think, for us. And for the Israelites, this setting up the memorial pillar was especially for them for confirmation. For confirmation. Okay, here's what I'm talking about. The Israelites had followed God for 40 years in the wilderness. And if I had just been finished reading this again in my own devotional life, I was reading through Exodus, how the cloud of God would hover over the place where they were, over the place of meeting. And when the cloud set out, the people were like, oh, time to go. And they had these trumpets and they would blow and all the tribes, I mean, a million people packing up their tents, packing up their stuff, and they would set out. And when the cloud stopped, oh, here's where we're stopping. They would unpack and set up camp, sometimes just for a day, sometimes for months. But when the cloud went, the people went. When the cloud stopped, the people stopped. God led them by a pillar of fire at night, by a cloud by day. God was visibly with them. The manna came down every morning. They had food, this visible sign that God was providing for them. When they crossed over the Jordan, the manna stopped. When they crossed over the Jordan, the cloud was no longer leading them around. They camped out one place. Also, God's still here? Is he still leading us? The manna's not here. We've got to go out and get our own food. We've got to start eating the crops from the land. I mean, it's the promised land. It's what we hope for. But there's not this visible sign. Look at what it says in Scripture. Verse 10. It says, now the priest who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed them. Just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried off, and as soon as they all of them had crossed, the Ark of the Covenant and the priests came to the other side while all the people watched. Then the men of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over ready for battle in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. And that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. Okay, so not only had the manna stopped, not only had they no longer had the cloud and the fire leading them, they no longer had Moses, the one they had trusted in, the one they had seen lead God and God used to demonstrate his power in the Exodus and in parting the Red Sea and in bringing water from the rock and manna from heaven and the quail and all of these miracles of God and the Word of God. They no longer had Moses. Now, they were still kind of doing what Moses had said. Did you hear that? As Moses had directed. They crossed over as Moses had said, okay, when you get there, this is what you're going to do. And God had spoken to Joshua too, but Moses had already kind of given them insight. This is what you're going to do. You heard them mention the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh. What was that about? These guys armed for battle. Weren't all of the tribes crossing over? Actually, no. Two and the half of the tribe of Manasseh decided not to cross over. They actually wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan because the land there, they'd had some battles, they'd conquered some land, and they're like, actually, this land's pretty good. We like it right here. And Moses was so upset. He was like, no. Everybody's going. Everybody's sticking with God. Don't show disunity. And they were like, no, we kind of like it. Listen, we'll still go and help you conquer the land. We'll still send all our soldiers in battle. And Moses was like, okay, I'll check with God. Okay, as long as you send all the troops, as long as you come and help conquer the land, as long as you come with God's people into the conquest, then you can stay and have this land on the east side of the Jordan. This was all set up by Moses. This was all done according to Moses. The Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, they did as Moses instructed. They did what they agreed to with Moses. Now you've got that new guy, Joshua. Was God really going to lead? If you go back to chapter 1, those same three tribes said, yeah, we'll do what we said with Moses. Only may you be strong and courageous. Only may the Lord be with you like he was with Moses. You ever gone through a leader change? I mean, our country's going through a leader change, right? As of tomorrow, right? We all kind of know. Most of the time we go through these changes, it's like, well, you got the one side and then you got the other side, and the new side's always trying to distance themselves from the other side, and there's kind of like, right? But have you ever been through these elections? You know, like a long time ago, I feel like, when the same party got elected, like Ronald Reagan to George Bush number one, it was the same team. And I was like, yeah, we like Ronald Reagan, or are we going to like George Bush the same? Or is he going to be as good? Or let's just bring it back to something we all know better. How about the NFL, right? You ever change a quarterback, right? You know how that goes, right? Well, this guy was great. He was our guy. Oh, the next. I never want to be the next guy. Yeah, I never want to be the next guy. You know, if someone was beloved, if someone was known, if someone was trusted, you never want to be that next guy. That is such, this was a time of confirmation. That God parted or moved, you know, stopped up the waters of the Jordan. They were setting up this memorial. No, God is still with us. God has led us to this place. This was according to his promises. This was according not just to Moses, but to the leader that we have now, Joshua. God is still leading us. God is still moving. There's a point here. Every generation needs their own experiences with God. All of us need to follow him daily. There will be leader changes. There will be programmatic changes. It won't always be the same, but God is still leading us forward. We can't just say, yeah, but that time in college when I was so close to God, there's got to be time now while we're walking with God. It can't be, yeah, but on this mission trip, that's when God really spoke to me. That's great. Memorialize it, think about it, remember it, so that it inspires you to follow God today. Because God is moving today. Each generation, pray for your children, your grandchildren. Pray for the students of today. And young people, pray for our senior adults. We all need to constantly follow God in the moment. Remembering the past to inspire the present. Because God is a living and active God. He is moving forward. This confirmed that God was leading his people. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says this in verse 3. This salvation which was first announced by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who have heard him. This testimony, this salvation, it says God testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. We need to study and read and hear the stories of Jesus, the miracles he performed. We need to think about how God has moved in the history throughout Scripture. But we also need to realize that God is answering prayers today. We need to be seeing signs. We need to pray, asking God to move miraculously today. We need to pray for our mission team in Mexico this week, that God would open doors for his message today. And finally, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We see them in this church, but if you're not sharing and using your gifts throughout the week and here, we're missing it. That's part of how God shows he is present and he's leading today. Those of you who have been here a while, we're celebrating the fact that, do you remember those days when we were saying, God, could you send us some Sunday school teachers? Do you remember those days when we were saying, God, could you send us some people that know how to like play an instrument and could lead in music? Do you remember those days when we were praying, more kids. We want more kids. Okay, we're still praying for that one and more children's leaders. Yeah, God confirms that he's leading. All right, number three. You ready? Because I got to keep moving today. Especially because we're watching for snow. I'm waiting for snow. It still hasn't come yet, right? We're so good. All right. Why do we need these memorials? Why do we need these monuments to God's grace in our lives? Listen, I think number three, we need these because they give us confidence. They give us confidence in what God is doing. Look at Joshua chapter 4, verse 15. Then the Lord said to Joshua, so command the priests carrying the ark of the law to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And as the priests came up out of the river carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord, it says, no sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and they ran at flood stage as they did before. Okay, Sometimes we can just gloss over this stuff, but we need to stop and kind of like imagine that we were there for a second. Yeah, you saw the waters kind of stopped up, but by the time most of the people had crossed, I think, maybe the waters had been up for a while and the ground was dry and they're like, okay, what happened? Oh yeah, okay. And they're crossing over. Maybe they didn't get to see all of the miraculous part happen. Or they saw it dry up, they got across. But to then see those waters come rushing back, to all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait a second, there's the flood. Whoa, wait a second, there it is, it floods. That would have been impossible to cross. That was roaring. Wow. Just think if we had tried to do that with my donkey or with my cart of all my belongings and my tent and my kids and my... It kind of reminds me of the scene, my friend. I was going through the airport. Vicki and I were one Christmas flying back to Texas. And a precious friend that we had not seen in years, someone that we knew and helped start the church in Syracuse as a young college freshman that God had worked in her life, and there she was, and she was like, Mike and Vicki. And we're like, oh. And you know, it's that little thing where you're going through before you go through security, right? There's just lines of you. And you're about three people or three lines up so you can talk every time you sort of cross. All right, you know how that goes. Because she needed to go forward, because not only was she trying to talk to us, but she had three precious little ones. Three precious little ones. You know what that's code for? It's code for little ones that are trying to run around and do everything that they're not supposed to do. They're supposed to wait in line and be patient. And she's, I mean, an excellent mom and has them all lined up and they're doing their thing. But, I mean, every time she'd talk to us for a while and one of them would be trying to shoot off somewhere, right? You know what I'm saying? So she's, oh my goodness, right? I mean, can you imagine what it was like for these families, for these people, thinking, man, wow, God, you spared us. God, you got us through. God, you provided. We need those reminders in our lives that God got us through, that God provided, that he dried up the Jordan, that he moved us on dry ground. Because there are problems. There are things that will overwhelm us. Jesus, in fact, said this. He said, look, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There's going to be problems. Okay, my wife said to me yesterday, like, have we ever had a true problem that was the end of the world? I'm like, no, the world hasn't ended. Exactly, so stop acting like it. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, thanks. Got to practice what I preach. And my wife is my faithful reminder of that, right? I mean, because I'll flip out about these things. Oh, no, what's going on? The difficulty... Guys, that's what happens. In this world, we're going to have trouble. There are the flood stages. There are the overwhelming things. But the Lord who parted the Red Sea, the Lord who stopped up the Jordan, is the same God who walks with us. Waymaker shouldn't just be a song. It's a life that we live. God is that waymaker. All right, one more, and I think you're going to like this one. We need memorials. We need these monuments for connection. For connection. What do I mean? Look, this event, God strategically connects both in its place and the timing, both to the past and to the future. Let me show you. Take a look at this. It says in verse 19, on the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. So you see when this happened. They crossed the Jordan, and then they went to have their first camp at Gilgal. This was on the 10th day of the first month. Now, if you're like me when I read the Bible, those are the verses that I'm just like, That's not one of the ones I memorize, right? Right? Okay. On the 10th day of the first... Anybody memorize this one as like your heart favorite verse? No. We just skip this stuff. It's God's word. He puts the words in there for a reason. He has a purpose. There was a purpose because God is indicating that this is actually a strategic time and a particular time to connect God's people with the past. You see, on the first month, why is it the first month? Well, they didn't already have a calendar. I'm sure the Egyptians did, but the Israelites had a calendar. And what's really very interesting about the calendar that God gives to the Israelites is that it has multiple New Year's days. In a single year, they had New Year's Day, which was the Rosh Hashanah New Year, which is kind of around our September. And they have a special New Year's. celebration that they blow the horns and have a big feast, and it's like, this is the New Year celebration. But also at Passover, which is typically around March, April for us, right? God says this Passover time is the New Year. That's what God says to Moses. Look, this is what it says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month, the month that they were brought out of slavery, the month that the Passover occurred, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Because on the 14th, they're going to take that lamb and they're going to use it to celebrate what? The Passover. The Passover. Okay, you following me? 10th day of the first month. This is the same 10th day of the first month. The day that they crossed into the promised land. The day that they set up and had a new leader take over and take charge. The day that they're memorializing that God had brought them out was the same time that they're memorializing what? The Exodus. That God had brought them out of Egypt under Moses. That God had ultimately parted the Red Sea. God is connecting it through this time to a particular past. But he's also doing it on the 10th day. Not the 14th day of the Passover, but on the 10th day. Why the 10th day? The day that you select the lamb, the day that you select your Passover lamb that would be your lamb of sacrifice to remember and to what? Be a prophecy of a Passover lamb that would come. Of one who would take us and bring us into the promised land. The Lamb of God, who God set apart from the foundation of the world to be the one who would save us, the one who would be our way maker, the one who would be our one who crosses us over, the one that takes us into eternal life, the one that we believe in and trust in, this Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It points us to Jesus. It reminds us of the past, but it points us ultimately to Jesus. Well, it also connects us through the place. You see, when they crossed over, they set up this memorial, but they also seem to set up at Gilgal as well. And so Gilgal seems to be this place where they camped as they crossed the Jordan. And Gilgal is an interesting place in the history of the people of God. And look at verse 20. It says, "And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that they had taken out of the Jordan." Okay, so what do they do at Gilgal? Why is that place so important? Well, at first, it was a place that was important for Joshua and the people right then. Joshua and the people reinstated both that celebration of the Passover right then and circumcision, that sign of the covenant of God's people. They had kind of abandoned it. And Gilgal became a place, ultimately, that was a place of leadership and worship. When Samuel, that first both prophet and priest and judge of God's people, the last one before the kingship, he used Gilgal as one of the places where he would meet with the Israelites to judge them year after year. Gilgal became the place that Samuel ultimately anoints the kings. Gilgal became the place where Samuel celebrated worship with the people, and even Saul didn't wait for Samuel to celebrate that worship, which got him rejected as the king. This became a significant place of worship for the people. This became a place of memorials. And here the 12 stones stood, so they could always point and say, remember what God did in this place, how he enabled us to cross over. We need places that will help us connect to the past. These were became a place that was connecting to the future. But can I tell you this? In the history of Israel, it became a place of corruption. Here's what happened. In the later prophets, we see these words. Hosea chapter 9, it says, because of all the wickedness, where? In Gilgal. I hated them there. Because of their sinful deeds, I'll drive them out of my house. I will no longer love them, for their leaders are rebellious. Or in Amos chapter 4, it says, go to Bethel and sin. Go to Gilgal and sin yet more. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 years. Go through your motions. Go worship. It's not become a place where my spirit is moving because you guys have been rebellious. Do you see the warning there? That even though these places, like this church building, is a place that's sacred for a lot of us, right? It's a place that you've experienced God moving in many ways, and we've been experiencing God move in this place. This is a special place for us. Some of your children have gotten married here. Some of your guards are getting married here. And there's exciting things that have happened in this place. We've seen people come to know the Lord. But you know, they can become corrupt if we become corrupt. If we are no longer seeking God in this place, then it's not the place that God intended it to be. We are always that place of worship. We are the people of God. We are His temple. And we must always treat our lives and the Lord in great reverence and holiness because it belongs to Him. Do you hear the warning? It was a connection from the past. It's a connection for the future. It's a sign. Joshua chapter 4 sort of begins to end with this. Verse 21, he said this to the Israelites, in the future when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them that Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Verse 23, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did in the Jordan what he had done in the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. This passage reminds me. It reminds me of why we serve the Lord. It reminds me of why we're asking God to move now. It reminds me to look to the past to say, oh yeah, Rachel, you're taking this team to Mexico? Here's how God led us when we went to Senegal. Here's how God worked in Cambodia. Here's how God worked in Zambia. I remember these mission trip moments. As God is bringing back a church, I remember how God planted this church or started this college ministry. We look to the past to see how God has worked in our lives and how He has provided and guided to inspire the present, to say this is how He's working now in our lives. This is what He's doing. Every generation needs their experiences with God. Every generation needs to walk with Him. We need to pray. We need to pray for God to move in this day, in our nation, in our homes, in this world. We need to pray that God would move, because we need to have the stories to share with our children and our grandchildren. This is how God moved in this generation. And then they need to have their own experiences with the Lord that they can pass on. Are you sharing those stories? Are you looking for that connection? God has been telling the same story from beginning to end. He's been parting Red Seas. He's been parting Jordans. He's been ripping the curtain in the temple in two when Jesus died on the cross to make a way where there was no way, to move us from death into life, to bring us into eternal life. Joshua goes on to say, these events are so that all nations would fear the Lord and know Him. Is God working in your life right now? Is He doing things? Are you asking Him to do things that would be miraculous in your life, that all nations, all people, all those in your circles would know that Jesus is Lord? Today, if you don't know Jesus, would you make that decision? Would you say, yeah, I'm in? If you do know Him, would you say, God, here's my life. I want this semester. I want this year. I want this time to be a time where I see You move. Would you do something this week to put up something that's a monument, a memorial, something to remind you? Maybe it's a scripture on a window. Maybe you're going to write something in a journal. Maybe you're like, God, You did this, and I don't want to forget. Would you make that step so that you have to pass on to others that story of how you came to know the Lord, how God has worked in your life? This week, Rachel, she's not here, but I'm going to tell you a story. One of the ladies who comes to volleyball, they went to lunch and were eating and that kind of thing. And the person said, you know, I don't know much about religion. Could you tell me a little bit more about why this church does what it does? And so Rachel got to tell the story about she didn't grow up with Jesus. Her family didn't go to church, but that she was taken with a friend to a youth group and came to know Jesus, and how God got a hold of her life, and she got so excited about knowing God and what it would be. God just opened that door for His message. The sign of what God had did in Rachel's life had caused her to want to take college students to share about Jesus in Mexico and every day with her life. How is God working in yours? Are you willing to set up those stones? Are you willing to say, God, move today? Will you respond to Jesus if He's calling you? Lord, here's my life. Make my life an offering. Make my life a memorial of your grace so that others would know. My children, my coworkers, Lord, be known. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for how it reminds us of the cross, how it reminds us that you have always been moving in history to bring about a Savior, that on a certain day you had set aside a lamb before the creation of the world, that he would be the sacrifice for our sins, that he would bring us to a place, a place that is intended to be your home, a temple, to make us into that temple, and that you would bring us to a place for eternity. God, thank you so much for this story, that we remember your works so we might be inspired to follow you. God, you are good. Teach us your ways, and Lord, make a way, even in these days. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The worship team is going to lead us in one more song, and I'll be up front. If you need to respond, maybe to join this church, or you're wanting to be baptized, maybe God is calling you to put your life and your family's life here, this is a time to respond for that. We're ready. I'll be happy to receive you. Let's stand as we sing.